The Bullcast is presented by GoodBullHunting.com. This show contains foul language, questionable topics, and takes that may melt your headphones. The views and opinions of the Bullcast do not represent those of Texas A&M University or the industry at large. You have been warned. Hi there, welcome to the Bullcast, and this, if I'm not mistaken, is our first AggieCast show. I'm Wes Davis, and alongside me is Chuck GBH.
How's it going, guys?
You know, the cars never hurt anybody.
They never did.
No.
Now, cars have hurt people.
Yeah, a lot of people.
I think it's
them. Probably the most people.
Yeah.
Them and heart disease, I think. Number one killers, right? Yeah,
it's a bummer. You know who can fix heart disease and car accident victims? Is Dr. Norris Camacho.
That's the cure, ladies and gentlemen. Third Eye Blind.
Man, I forgot about that song.
No, man.
I really like that jam.
You go break out that first Third Eye Blind album, and it is front to back.
We could listen to it nonstop.
It's really good.
Yeah, that is some actually good music.
I will say I have listened to most of Third Eye Blind's subsequent albums, and I've seen them in concert twice, and that's some fun shit. You know, you can knock them all you want, but they are good at hooks. It's fun. And he is a great front man, even though he was a dick to his whole band, and now there's two versions of them touring. But yeah, it's good shit. It's good shit.
You have more Third Eye Blind background story than I possibly imagine anyone would have.
Well, recently it was the 20th anniversary of that first album, right? And so they did this.
Yeah, band. I believe. West
Sweet Jesus. What planet am I on?
Well, you're on a planet where I know esoterical bullshit. And
where it's being corroborated by Rush.
Yeah, no, he's the man. Like, we've talked, Rush and I think have talked Third Eye Blind at length before.
Yeah.
Like, it's a fun band, but like XEB is touring, which is the old bandmates that wrote the other half of that album.
Like the guitarist and the drummer.
Who are amazing. And yeah, it's a pretty interesting little story. Doesn't the vocalist tour with the bass player?
Mm.
Or the second bass player or something like that? Because that guy went to
it's not the original
like tissue.
You know, when I lived in Houston, I was very excited to see. We got tickets to go to the Toyota Center to see Pink Floyd was retouring The Wall.
Right.
And they were doing the actual Wall, which I don't know if you know anything about it, but when they originally toured The Wall, it's like a, I mean, it's like a show. There's giant 30-foot puppets, and they build, over the course of the first half of the show, they build a wall on the stage so that by intermission, you can't see the band anymore. Like, it's this whole production. It's this huge set. You know, it's like a musical or whatever. Anyway, they were going to bust out the original Wall show and do all of this stuff again, and we got tickets to go and see, and it was fucking awesome. Like, it was so much fun. But when it says Pink Floyd presents The Wall, and you sort of really just scratch the surface of that, what you find out is it's just Roger Waters. He's the only one left. It's Roger Waters and a bunch of people who can play really good instruments, but you've never heard of any of these people.
The studio musician is somebody I'm extremely jealous of. Like, the guy that's like kind of the badass that gets on everybody's records, that's played with everybody, that tours with everybody, but you don't know who the fuck he is, and he makes great money. Like,
he's like the practice team kicker.
Right.
He's making good bank, and he's having fun at his job, but you're never going to know his name, but he's also never going to get damaged by any of it.
Right. Like, I saw, like, 2 years ago, I went to see Muse. And if you haven't, I recommend it because those guys are ridiculous. Live, that's a hell of a show. But there are only three guys in Muse, but there is a fourth guy when they tour, and he's down there playing like 8 or 9 different things. Like, he's playing guitar on one song, bass on one song, keyboards, theremin, different percussion things, and it's like, that guy's badass. Like, and he gets to be on this killer tour with these crazy suckers. Like, the guy from Muse plays all those ridiculous guitar solos while strutting a catwalk in all leather, and you're just like, okay. All right, yeah, fuck you. I've been playing that fucking instrument for 20 years, and I can't do that sitting down, so, you know, blow me. It's amazing. It's pretty cool. So on the
show, I feel like Muse is like what would have happened to you two if they had grown up playing Dungeons & Dragons in, like, a comic book store.
That's a pretty solid assessment. I always think that they're Radiohead with the harder drugs.
Interesting.
Like, that's,
I don't know who Muse is. Sorry.
Oh.
That is three completely different perspectives. I like it. I feel like we covered that pretty well.
Rush, I've got a theory on this, and I want you to confirm it. When did your music consumption stop?
I mean, when did I stop?
Like, keeping up with it.
Keeping up with new?
Like, new shit. Or stop, like, caring. Like, you still get new stuff, but you're not, like, into it like you once were.
Oh, yeah. Probably, like, 10 years ago.
That's kind of what I thought.
At least.
Okay. Because I'm right there. I'm a little bit after that. I mean, I get new stuff from, like, XM stations and stuff, but I just don't care. I don't chase the band down or give a shit about them like I used to. But, Chuck, when did that happen for you?
Hello?
There you are.
Hey.
Chuck,
sorry.
When did you stop, like, actively chasing new bands?
Chasing new bands? I like to think that I never stopped, but that's a lie.
No, it is. Like, you still take in new stuff.
I do not actively.
Oh no. Rush, I think we're falling victim to Hill's internet.
His takes are lost in the ether.
Chuck's takes just melted his Ethernet. Oh, man. He's probably still talking, which is the fun thing to imagine.
And he got swarmed by killer mosquitoes.
There you are. Are you there, buddy?
You okay, buddy?
So on the Bullcast today, we're going to talk about... We're gonna dance around Big 12.
He'll be back.
Yeah, Big 12 media days. Because that's been in the news, and we want to talk some sports. We promise there will be A&M connections to these. We're going to wonder when it's too early for pumpkin shit in stores, and then I think we're going to have a general beer conversation. So if any of those topics tickle your fancy, you know, stick around. Listen for some takes. We're also excited to be on AggieCast, which yes. This should be our first show, and if it's not, you'll just get it the normal way.
No, let's put this on AggieCast.
Well, I don't know if he's ready yet.
No, fuck that. There's a Twitter handle. It has to be a real thing.
Yeah, he's got the SoundCloud
page. That's how the internet works. I follow AggieCast on SoundCloud.
So do I.
So there needs to be a thing on it.
Yeah, so we'll put
this should be the third. This will be the first thing.
Yeah, we'll be
inaugural
the
AggieCast post.
But yeah, we just did the rundown of the show, and so we'll start out talking about what the good doctor wrote about today on GBH. Rush, talk about Gary.
Talk about. Well, you talk about Gary
That's
Patterson.
That's a good lead-in.
Yeah, talk about.
Talk about.
He's out here slinging truths at this little thing they call Big 12 Media Days. It's kind of like a rip-off of the SEC Media Days.
Yeah, get your own thing.
Palace. Yeah. He was asked some kind of reporter question today, and blah blah blah, something happened, one thing led to another, and he says he does think that Texas A&M leaving the Big 12 hurt the conference or didn't help it or
what was the direct quote.
He said that it specifically hurt us a little bit.
Now, I think that's telling for a couple of reasons. Gary Patterson at Big 12 Media Day said Texas A&M leaving the Big 12 hurt us a little bit. I think the first thing that leaps out to me there is the word us. Hey, bro, when we left, you weren't there.
Yeah. Yeah, you wouldn't be into Big 12 if we left.
Us was not you at the time. Let's just be fully. But I get what he's saying. And if you read a little further into what he was talking about, what he really means, you know, of course Aggie isn't going to be like, yeah, you miss us, blah, blah, blah. What he's really said as he went on was, they opened the door to the SEC, devastating the state of Texas for recruiting, and we're all fucked.
He does say that.
He's not wrong. We did. We did that thing, and we're all screwed, but we, as the Aggies, are the least screwed, so I say, double birth, fuck you all, we win.
The continuation of the quote, he does say this, I think the Big 12's leaving, the Big 12's learning, it's helping us, because we're now leaving the state to be able to get to kids, to be able to get kids to come to into the state. This is a weird quote. Or I can't read. You pick, audience.
I think it was a little of both.
Shut up. I have a master's.
not in reading.
Not in reading.
Not in quote reading.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't know.
Well, it may have been opened up a little bit by, you know, West Virginia being added, but it's mostly out of necessity.
Yeah.
Because I think when it was the old conference, Texas was just locked down by not just, you know, the Texas teams, but Oklahoma, Oklahoma State, Nebraska was deep into Texas. It was, you know, not as many going to the SEC or anywhere else as are today.
I think it's interesting, and we'll get into a little bit more of why here in a second, but, you know, we've now been reading. How long have we been in the SEC? 2012, so like five years. For 5 years, we've been reading every Aggie on Earth on the internet, masturbating over how great our move to the SEC was and how the big dumpster fire, LOL, blah, blah, blah. I think this is weird because I feel like what they've been saying happened 5 years ago is actually starting to happen. I feel like the Big 12 may be actually starting to come apart at the seams a little bit.
They don't have that
leadership that the former athletic director DeLoss Dodds had, you know, to strong arm the conference.
Kim Dodds ill.
Yeah. And yes, that, I
hate myself and for what that was. I'm sorry.
I just think it's interesting that he's breaking ranks and he's admitting some flaws here, some problems. Looks like shit.
Well, speaking of breaking ranks, didn't Tom Herman break ranks?
Yeah, that was the other thing. Tom Herman, apparently today, I think, in Big 12 Media Days, said he doesn't understand why Texas and Texas A&M can't play every year.
Would you look at that? They want us to do them a favor.
That is too
pathetic.
Two of the top coaches, arguably the two top coaches left in the Big 12, completely breaking ranks from the company line during Big 12 Media Days.
Do not underestimate the mullet.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, well, I'd say that the next argument would be Gundy, but it's Patterson and Gundy are right there.
I like Mike Gundy.
I love Mike Gundy.
I think he's awesome.
I don't understand the mullet thing.
Like, he did it to embarrass his kid. Like
his own kid, not one of his players.
Yeah,
right?
Like his own child, and then like the kid protested more, so he was like, "Fuck it, I'm keeping it."
So it's his hairstyle for the last like 2.5 years is a gigantic fuck you to his own progeny.
Full on bit.
I think I like him even more now.
Same. I respect it. Like that mullet game is strong too. Like it works
That's
for
tough.
Him.
Yes.
Does it work for him?
Yeah.
I think it looks like shit and I think it makes him look like a retard. But
he's a mustache and a tie away from being an NHL coach. Like, if he gets fired...
Is that a good look?
Or a pirate.
Or a pirate. Now,
Jimmy Guards is not here to defend the NHL, so I'll ask it. Is that actually a good look?
Dude, sick hockey salad?
Or is that just a funny look?
It's the look.
No, man.
It is the look.
Have you ever watched the videos that come out every year for like the all-state Michigan hockey team with their hair? Like, there's this guy that puts these out every year. They're like highlight reels, and he just talks about, whoa,
fantastic.
Have you ever
read a joke about hockey? It's all right there.
Yeah, fair. Also, they're tougher than every – the hockey players are tougher than every other athlete on the planet if you read Super Hockey Fans jokes on the internet.
I can't imagine reading any of that.
Oh, man. Anytime a basketball player gets a twisted ankle, they always post stuff about, like, LeBron crying and a hockey player playing with, like, six missing teeth and a spear through their chest.
Severed jugular.
Yeah.
Look, like already, like, 60% of my online interactions involve the Aggies. I don't have time for another group of batshit crazy
fans. Another entire population of just self-hating people.
What, hockey fans? Or sports fans on the internet in general.
Sports fans in general.
Okay.
Sports.
Nothing specifically against hockey fans. Y'all are great.
Y'all aren't listening. Yeah, y'all aren't listening, so I don't know why we're bringing you up.
If you're a big hockey fan, tweet all your hate at Cuppy Cup. This is
He said
fault.
He hates hockey.
Yeah.
He gets hockey and lacrosse confused. He thinks they're the same sport.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh.
Cool Hand Luke says that hockey players can't make rugby teams, so tweet at him too. those are where you send your hate.
I don't know if y'all ever hung out with any Aggie rugby players in college, but those motherfuckers were out of their minds.
Yeah, they're crazy.
Yeah. I worked
everything
with one.
That your group, crazy group of drunken friends or your fraternity used to do does not hold a candle to their like Wednesday evening.
That's very true. Like Wednesday at 3:30, like they've got a drinking game for like the talk. And they sit watch that show.
You're like, oh my god, we played Edward Forty's hands, and they're like, they duct taped me to a keg and I wasn't allowed to undo myself until I had floated it.
Oh yeah. So Herman broke ranks. You got a new OU football coach. I don't care.
Oh, do we really? What's
Lincoln Riley?
Lincoln Riley.
Okay, yeah.
We got two last names, so he's either a lawyer or a coach.
Tom Herman has two first names.
Tom Herman does have two.
He's in Mensa.
Tom Lincoln and Herman Riley.
No, they're going to get married.
Oh, that's hot.
That'd be perfect.
They're going to be, Tom Lincoln and Herman Riley.
Yeah.
Aw, it's kind of beautiful.
It's something very yin and yang about that. Like... That combo and the rivalry and all that stuff. They're both going to be fired in 4 years. It doesn't matter. But
when did Bob Stoops get hired? Does anybody know?
98.
And how does that correspond with Mac Brown?
He was hired a year or two after Matt.
Okay. So
I think a year after.
It's plausible that this may be the first time in certainly decades and possibly ever that both OU and Texas are under a brand new coach.
It's the first time it's happened since 1940 something. I read an article about it. Like,
oh man, I thought you just Encyclopedia Brown over here.
Like right after Riley stepped up, that was a topic of discussion. I can't remember specifically when, but it wasn't recent at all.
I assume we're all in agreement that with their two new head coaches at Oklahoma and the University of Texas that we're both very excited for them to both be just god awful shitty, right?
They won't be. OU won't be god awful shitty.
Mm.
I don't know.
I don't think they'll be as shitty as Texas.
No, Texas might be god awful shitty.
The only interesting thing to watch in the Big 12 this year is what actually happens to Baylor.
Oh yeah, that's true.
Like, now that this is all really shaking out, are they going to get terrible again?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. But
the entire universe hopes so.
That's because I'm not, like, pro-rape. But
wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
Strong tape.
Yeah, it's a strong tape.
Yeah, I got to say.
Can't even discuss Baylor.
No. Fuck Baylor. Like, it's like, what is it? Oh God, what movie is it that where like the land magically returns back to normal after some evil thing happens? Oh God, that's a great description, Wes. Like,
the Ending Story?
Yeah, maybe. It's like the end of that.
I don't know, maybe.
But like, no, like Baylor got good for a couple years and life was weird. Like, this will make it feel normal. Baylor,
I think you're
shit.
I believe you are referring to the Care Bears movie.
Actually, I think that's specifically it.
I think that might be it.
I actually knew it and didn't want to say it because it was the Care Bears movie. But yeah,
Okay, you need to edit around to keep in the Care Bear stuff.
Oh, I will. I specifically will. But yeah, I don't know. I think that the other interesting thing will be, and it's not going to happen, but I would love it if Texas Tech would win the Big 12 this year.
That'd be fun.
Not a fucking prayer in hell.
Nope, but it would be awesome if they did.
Like, Tech's not going to come in dead last in the Big 12, but they're going to be in the bottom three.
It's just a real big dream for me that Baylor's shitty, Texas is shitty, OU is shitty, TCU.
And then
is
you
shitty.
Still gotta get through Oklahoma State and Kansas State.
Yeah, it's true that. Yeah, fuck.
Yeah, it's the this is not a top heavy conference, but it's real long in the middle.
It's not the year for Cliff, guys. Sorry.
I like Cliff a whole lot.
Same.
And he's in dire straits.
Yeah, he's putting in his time right now. I mean, he'll be a good coach for a long time, but he's earning his stripes right now.
Yeah,
well, and I'm not gonna lie. If he doesn't, if a miracle doesn't happen this year, and it won't, he's gonna be one of the hot seat topics of next, you know, of this next offseason.
No, they'll fire him this year. Like, I think if they suck, they're gonna boot him. He's had four years now, right? Like, this is his fifth season.
Yeah.
Is it his fifth?
Yeah, this is his fifth season as head coach because it's our sixth year in the SEC, right? So he was our offensive coordinator for that first year, and then he went over to Tech to be head coach. So that would make this his fifth season. And he's something like 20. He's 24 and 26 or something. It's not good.
I thought you were going to say he's 24 years old.
No, I know. His record's just south of 500.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, you know what? Now that the facts of the matter have been presented to me, I think you may be right.
Like,
he may be up shit creek.
I mean,
the thing is, of course, Spencer Hall wrote about it much more eloquently than I can speak about it. But the fact of the matter is, as usual at Texas Tech for the last 30, 40, 50 years, no one can play defense. I don't know what it is about Lubbock. But you can score 100 trillion points, but no one can stop. I mean, you're averaging like 8 yards a carry against Tech.
You know, Chuck, I was reading The Economist the other day, and there was this article specifically about this, that there's this group of researchers from Harvard.
Specifically about Texas
Tech? Yeah, no, hear me out. This group of researchers from Harvard.
I don't think that you're being honest.
No, I'm
not.
Did
they tell you how many A&M Fortune 500 CEOs we got?
You know, you could let me do the bit. I had a funny handcrafted joke prepared for you,
and we're not. And you are in control of the edit button, son. We ain't out of this.
There's no way. No, I like to keep this as natural as possible.
Fucking finish your bit, son.
Well, no, they wanted to conduct the effects of cow shit odor on defensive players, and the closer proximity you are to a cow shit easterly wind, the worse a defense you get.
Interesting.
Yeah, and so that was their study ground was Lubbock. So on the days where the wind blows west to east, you're good, but when it blows east to west, defense bad.
See, even The Economist is reaching for content, is what you're talking about.
Oh shit.
So if you like that kind of comedy, come watch me do stand up on certain nights in Dallas.
Which nights are those? Hey, if I was in Fort Worth, say, soon, when could I see my favorite bowlcaster do some stand-up comedy.
Well, you won't be able to see me do stand-up. You'll be able to see me do improv in Fort Worth.
Okay, that's fine.
On Monday, the 31st is my. I'll have a free show at 8 o'clock at 4 day weekend, and then every Wednesday until the end of August, I'm at Dallas Comedy House at 8 o'clock. So, yeah, come check it out.
Okay. Yeah, well, that's good to know. Now, just to clarify, I'm not in Dallas or Fort Worth, and I won't be there.
No, you won't.
But I like the hypothetical.
And if you're in Kansas City on August 25th, you can come check me out there.
For real?
Yeah, for real.
Interstate.
For real, real.
What? Performance?
No, we made it. My troupe made a comedy festival in Kansas City, and we're waiting to hear back from one in Oklahoma. We missed.
Oh, I thought you were about to announce your first stand-up comedy tour.
No. If I get
surprise, spring it on us.
No. Believe me, that would have led the show. Like, if I had dates, like if I was like getting paid for stand-up, you'd be hearing about that. It'd be all over everywhere that I am online. I'm not there. I'm like 3 years from that.
I'm gonna hold you to that timetable.
Start the clock now.
I'm working on it. I'm performing. I'm doing what I can. I'm writing, and it is nothing like that economist joke. That was bad, but that was. I don't feel good about that now. Now that I've looked at it in retrospect and had the experience, it hurt.
Now that you're staring down the barrel of that joke, you don't like what you came up with. Huh?
You know what? You're not staring down the barrel of it. You're standing over the corpse of that joke, and it smells bad. it's you're looking down and there's already maggots on it. You're like, fuck, that's
it's
dead.
Very hot and no wind.
it makes for bad defense in Lubbock. Okay.
What the fuck were we talking about?
They can't tackle.
Well, they can't do it. Wrap up. Fuck.
They can't.
tackle. Y'all.
So let's set an over under right now.
Oh, sure.
We've got three of us here. Sports. What's the over under on the number of seasons left in the Big 12?
Oh, you mean like as a conference?
As a conference.
Oh, sick. Good question.
Let's say 5.5.
So we're setting it at 5.5. Wes, do you agree that that's where the line should be?
I feel like that's appropriate. Yeah. Because I was trying to argue against it until I realized he was setting the line.
Actually, yeah. Now that I think about it, that's a pretty good line, Rush. Where do y'all stand on that line?
I stand over, but barely.
Okay, Wes has got the over. Rush?
Yeah, I'm right there. I'm thinking maybe 6.
Okay, you're
just
thinking,
barely over.
I'm going to take the under. Are on 5.5 years.
What specifically?
I'm feeling it in my bones.
But where specifically do you feel it? Like the number, not on your body.
Okay, I was going to say, is the penis a bone?
No, but you can break it.
Sometimes.
What were you actually asking me?
Like what year? Like you're saying you think under. Oh, do you think under as in 5 or under as in 3?
I'm going to say 4. Well, I'll take 5.
Interesting, because I'm at 6.
Yeah. I think maybe Russ set a pretty good line.
It was a perfect line.
Because I feel like it's starting to fray a little bit. You know, you've got the two most successful, two of the biggest coaches in the conference from the bigger programs not towing the company line. The entire state of Texas, which is a lot of the Big 12, not looking real good on the national ranking scene. That is ourselves included.
Which we totally sucks.
Also, but yeah, that does suck for all of us. But it sucks especially for the Big 12 because they have more Texas schools than any other conference. They just lost the best coach in the league.
Yes, think about both of the elite down. Schools in the conference. The only two elite schools have brand new coaches who've never coached on either a head coach or on the stage.
Motherfucking Bob Stoops just walked away from one of the best jobs in college football.
Yeah, I mean,
things ain't looking real great. They we're talking about a conference that is currently refusing to pay one of its members until further notice.
Whoa, 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 whoa. What did I miss there?
Baylor does not get Big 12 revenue until they have demonstrated that they are correcting the situation.
Oh, right.
I think it's just bowl revenue. What is the revenue that they're not getting? I forget.
I don't remember.
And don't get me wrong, they'll get it eventually. They're not going to hold out on them forever, but they want them to show some sort of olive branch bullshit token of we're pretending to be better, even though we're definitely not, because we're all giant pieces of shit.
They could have fired that whole staff. That would have been a step in the right direction. That would have.
Could have, would have, should have.
Yeah.
Could have just not done all that shit to start with, like decent humans.
What you could have done is, not allowed systematic raping of your student body. Wow. Did we end up back on this subject? We sure did. Sorry about that.
So, but I don't think you can attribute Bob Stoops leaving to the conference sucking. I think his leaving was more of a health thing. Like, would you say that's fair? Like, because his dad died in his early 50s of a heart condition, and he's been told that he is very predisposed to that, and he's been getting checks and everything like that on the regular, but I think he left because of the stressors of the job, and like it was about that time, and he had always kind of alluded to the fact that he would walk away in his 50s. Do you think that that's fair, or do you think it's the state of the conference?
I think he just wanted to do it on his own terms, and maybe the conference being down a little bit helped him, because otherwise what's he going to do, stick around for eight more years till they're respectable again somewhere else?
Are we talking about Stoops? Sorry, I got that Shreveport internet going on.
Talking about Stoops.
We're talking about the Third Eye Blind concert the other night.
Yeah, sick.
And about how he's wondering if he should go on for eight more years.
They played a 36-minute version of Narcolepsy that'll make you just jizz.
Oh, Christ. welcome to the Boldcast. The only remaining Third Eye Blind fan cast.
Yeah, and next week we're going to get into Weezer, which I like.
Don't be mixing these two. Don't make me choose sides.
I will make you choose sides.
Bob Stoops, is the question, why did he leave?
Yeah, because like earlier you said that it was an indication that the conference was in shambles that Stoops left. So I was curious if you think that that's he left because
I'm not saying like it's like a harbinger. Like he's not the canary in the coal mine leaving. Okay. I think it's more like that's one of the remaining pillars of the conference just got knocked out from under it.
Uh-huh.
I would say he's more cause than effect.
Okay, like, I feel you.
If we look at this, when we look at this 4 years from now, when they're like, why is the Big 12 falling apart? They're going to point to when the last marquee coach of the conference just on a random like Tuesday said, fuck it, I'm done, and barely even told anyone.
Yeah, I was on campus at A&M when I got that news. It shocked the hell out of me.
Yeah, and it was so bizarre. And that
we're all gonna miss Fran. It's true.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Fran's announcing of his resignation. That is one of my fondest memories of my like football game attendances. We had just beaten Texas, right?
Yeah, he had beaten Texas and got fired on the same day. And it was twice in a row.
We returned from that game that we had all attended. We had gone back to our tailgate to drink all of the rest of everything that we could find because we were in that good a mood. And our tailgate was in Spence Park, and you could see the Jumbotron from our tailgate. So we're watching the post-game conference on the Jumbotron from Spence Park, drinking all of the alcohol in Spence Park when he announced his own resignation. And it was like it was like double Christmas. We had just beaten Texas, and we were getting rid of that shit heel. It was the best day ever.
That was probably a banner day. Yeah, if I had been there, that would have been amazing.
And then we got Mike Sherman for 5 years.
And then we got Mike Sherman.
I'm just saying, hate Mike Sherman.
That one day.
Enjoy while it lasts.
No.
Very. So yeah, you really only have what, Patterson, Gundy, and Snyder, kind of the marquee guys left. I know that Herman and Lincoln are flashy, but they're brand new. So yeah, if you see Bill Snyder just up and start living in New Zealand or something, then you know it's over.
But Snyder's already gone and come back. Like he can't have that. Settled. He can't have that much like left, right? Like how old is he?
Well, he could be in there for like another 20 years just on, you know, autopilot. I think he's in his early 80s.
Do you think he just like
he's one of those guys who's going to live to be 112 or something?
Do you think he's on some kind of football coaching biological rhythm? Or like it's just automatic. Awesome. He didn't think about it at all anymore. He just wakes up naturally.
Yeah, he gets to do it in his sleep. He requires hardly any brain power, but he does an excellent job. Like really has to get up for game days and stuff, but the week stays clear of itself.
He takes an extra ginkgo on game days.
Yeah,
yikes.
Really gets his blood going.
And his penis rock hard.
You know what I think would be cool at SEC Media Days, or Big 12 Media Days? If someone just started going apeshit over Bill Snyder's shoes. Like, check out Snyder. He's got the coolest shoes in the conference.
Now, see,
all your other coaches wish he could be this cool.
That is a great bit.
Just like some blogger totally earnestly go start taking close-up pictures and posting immediately. Just to see what that kind of behavior would be like at Big 12 as opposed to SEC.
RCB, I'm making an open request to you right now to make the Bill Snyder Nike print ad. If you could do that, I would like that very much.
Fuck that. Comb through the archives, the Google image search of him, and discuss all of the different shoes that you see him wearing. I want reviews.
It's the same pair for 49 years.
Yes.
No, like one year he just went and bought 85 pairs of white Nikes. And he just unboxes them every year.
He's like, I'm done, man. Sorry, I got distracted while you were talking, but now I have a sort of a thought exercise for y'all. I want you to close your eyes, and I need you to picture a fictional person. Not a fictional person, but a generic person. And this person retired from working for 40 years at a bread like a bread factory, like for like Mrs. Baird's or something.
Sure.
And now he lives in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, and he drives a school bus for a middle school in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. I need you to picture this man's face. And I'm certain, without being inside your heads, you're picturing Mike Sherman, aren't you? It's Mike Sherman. That's what he looks like.
Mine kind of looked like Todd Graham.
Mine was actually Bill Snyder.
Maybe he's in Cedar Rapids by now.
Bill Snyder is not allowed to drive a motor vehicle. I mean, he does it anyway. He's just not allowed to.
My great grandfather drove in it well into his 80s, and he drove one of those like old big steel boat sedans, you know.
Fuck yeah!
All over Terrell, Texas, and by all over I mean like over every lane. Like I can't believe he wasn't killed in an automobile accident.
Well, if you're in one of those, you're pretty protected.
Yeah, he's fine.
Just driving around, just like, "Hur!" You damn kids. Like, that's what I saw when I pictured that in my head. I don't know why. So it's almost fall, and by almost fall, I mean it's almost August, which it's nowhere near fall.
It's almost like a week to August.
It is not almost, August. Are you fucking kidding me?
It's almost
almost fall, it's almost done. Let's break down. Fall is what, September 21st?
All right, sure. I hate this conversation. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about the goddamn pumpkin scents you see at the store. They're fall flavors. They're out now, everywhere.
Fall,
Fall Flavors of what?
Well, Fall Flavors is your favorite boy band.
Are we talking about like pumpkin spice lattes?
Yeah, that's what we're
talking about. I don't know. I don't really shop for those.
Also, if you call that a PSL, I need you to kill yourself now. That's important to me.
That gets your blood boiling?
Uh-huh. Sure.
There are some things you just don't do around Chuck.
Uh-huh.
Well, where did you see all of the pumpkin shit? Because I have yet to see pumpkin shit.
A couple of the grocery stores here in San Antonio, like at a Target and an HEB.
Oh, man.
Like the end displays have all kinds of, it's not just pumpkin, it's like fall road trip or flannel scent, air fresheners, candles, you name it.
That's like,
it's like their fall line.
It's like Wile E. Coyote setting traps for white girls.
Just to be clear for our listeners, because I know our posting is erratic at best, it is the middle of July right now as we're talking.
No, it's going to come out tonight.
It is the middle of July.
It's like 2 weeks from August,
right? And we're talking about what I would call Thanksgiving flavors.
Yeah, that's fair. At the very earliest, October.
Yeah, yeah, maybe mid to late October. Yeah, you can get your pumpkin on
in
October.
Let's call it October 15th. Just be generous. So we're 3 months from when anything should be anything pumpkin. It's still going to be 100 degrees for about 100 more days in a row.
And you know what is not attractive when it's 100 degrees outside is like a hot pumpkin cider.
Ugh.
Ugh.
Sticky. It tastes like a liquefied cupcake.
I blame marketing.
I blame marketing too.
Marketing and Wes, the consumer.
Wes, I blame your profession.
That's fine. That's fine. I was talking about this earlier tonight. I blame my profession for pharmaceutical ads too. It's our fault.
Yeah.
It's our fault.
That's a lot of people's fault. That's not just marketing. There's a lot. A lot of people got their fingers in that pie.
That's true, but man, it's just so funny. It's like that mid-September we'll start getting Christmas shit.
Mm-hmm.
And then like right after Christmas you'll see the Valentine's Day shit. And
we're officially old men, right?
We're this passionate about this topic.
Well, there's something a cloud out there, and we got to yell at it. So
we're going to yell at this cloud, but the cloud we won't yell at is the war on Christmas.
Well, I mean, that's a definite truth.
Yes, I did just bring up the war on Christmas on July 18th.
Because
we're saving our big guns for the war on appropriate air freshener time of year.
Appropriate air freshener.
Yeah.
What is a summer appropriate air freshener?
Jasmine. I should have hesitated longer in order to seem more manly.
Yo, Chuck, you would have had to have hesitated at all.
Nailed it.
got it in one, bitches. Jasmine or get the fuck out.
Okay. Chuck, what is the appropriate winter air freshener?
It's actually clove. I'm sorry, we were looking for clove. I'm like the Ben and Jerry's of this, apparently.
Okay, Chuck, what's the springtime air freshener?
Oh, shit. I think it's sandalwood, right?
Okay. Sure.
Feels like sandalwood.
Okay. All right.
I could say anything, and you just agree.
I would agree.
Yeah, that's really my game here.
Okay, so I'm just learning of the process for posting now, and so we have to put it in Dropbox. So it might not post tonight. It'll probably
oh,
post
you lied! You to lied to everyone.
I lied. Yeah, well, they're not gonna
people
know.
Depend on you.
Nobody depends on me. That's the beauty of being me right now. Literally, no one depends on me.
For those of you that have joined the Bullcast for the first time, because you listened to one of the other Aggie Cast podcasts, and you said, well, I'm going to listen to some of these other guys, and you selected the Bullcast, and you foolishly picked the first one. I'm going to start at the first one listed on the AgCast. I would like to apologize because this maybe wasn't our strongest one. I mean, it wasn't bad, but, you know.
Oh, baby, it ain't over.
Oh, what it is.
Well, if you are new, we ought to...
If you are new, there's no way you're still listening at this point.
Well, if you're new and you're still listening and you want to know some of these references and the things we're talking about, just go over to the Bullcast SoundCloud and listen to back episodes. They won't hurt you.
Listen to all 68.
Yeah, just go through all 68. Binge us.
There are more than 68, right?
Yeah, there's like 80. Let me... Yeah. Like
we. Oh, I thought we had hit a century. Are we not at a century yet?
Damn. I'll be able to tell you in about 2 seconds. We are at 92. This is 93.
Ooh. Shit, we're going to have a blowout for 100.
It's going to be around football season.
Bullcast 100. Ooh. That's a scary thought. We'll have to get into that. Well, okay, speaking of seasonal items, it's the summer and it's hot as shit right now. So you're going to go outside and you're going to sit down with a couple of buddies and you're going to grill. What's your you gotta have a go-to six-pack. Like, you're gonna enjoy your evening out in the hot blistering day, or you're gonna be in the pool. What's
your beer snob talk?
I don't know if this is beer snob. I'm talking like just a go-to drinkable hot outside beer. What are you gonna grab?
I mean, real talk and
real talk.
And what I would call a recovering beer snob, not a recovering alcoholic. I'm still, you know, working my way through that action. But as a recovering beer snob, it still occasionally pains me to admit. But the fact of the matter is, it's Miller Lite. That's what I'm drinking. If I'm grilling, that's what I'm drinking.
That's totally
because it's hot outside, and I need something that is refreshing and largely water.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. If I'm drinking beer, because I don't do it that often, I don't opt for the light anymore. Like, I
what
like
do to, you opt for?
Oh, shoot, man! If I had my druthers, I'd grab a six or a Yellow Bellies. I don't hate the Coors Original or the Budweiser Original, and I'd have no problem admitting it.
You wouldn't normally opt for beer. What would you normally opt for?
Well, since I love beer, and that's what I normally would be drinking, but the last 7 months I've been on a weight loss path, and so I don't drink beer during the week. I drink it on Saturdays when I eat whatever I want. And
I was just trying to make you talk about weed, so, you know.
No. Oh. Well, that's a whole different substance. I mean, if I'm going to drink, I'll do a bourbon on ice or a red wine.
Well, la-di-da, Mr.
No, it's not a la-di-da.
In a glass, I bet.
I'm drinking it out of a box. Like, come on.
I think my favorite, way that I know I'm bullcasting is if I'm outside on my deck talking with you guys and I have a Yeti tumbler full of wine.
Oh, is that what you're drinking?
Not right now, but that is a classic move of mine. A Yeti tumbler full of wine.
What's your wine go-to?
Super lukewarm.
Dude, it's a Yeti. You can't get something lukewarm in a Yeti.
No, but if
a thousand years.
If you pour it in, it'll keep it lukewarm for 48 hours.
48 no, sir. Years. No, sir. I refrigerate my boxed wine.
Oh, attaboy. What are you drinking? Like, what's the box of choice?
Who knows? It's the box that's in my fridge.
I like to go for the Boda Malbec. Like, that's my play.
I think it's a Boda. I go the Cab Sauv direction.
Yeah, I like that too. There's nothing, like, if I'm buying bottles, I'll maybe go a little different, but, you know, it's pretty good. But yeah, my sixer of choice is probably going to be Cold and Domestic. And full lead in the summer, or like like I said earlier when we were talking before the show, I don't hate on a Grolsch, and I love a Lone Star, because it's hot outside, and I don't want anything like, I don't want a stout, and I definitely don't want an IPA. I want something refreshing.
So you don't want an IPA because you're a human being with the taste buds that a human being has.
Oh man, we're gonna piss some people off here.
Yeah, IPAs can eat a giant cock.
Yeah, but after I've mowed a lawn, I don't want to taste the lawn, so I'm out on.
Just don't understand beer.
I guess not, guy. I just love how you have to be like so refined to enjoy something now. It's like you can't just like what you like.
Do people know why IPAs taste like shit? Because they were brewed with the sole purpose of getting the beer to last from England to India without rotting. Hmm. So yep. It's basically like you're drinking something barely above a solvent.
You know, the Economist did a study on this.
To do that is formaldehyde.
Yeah.
No, man.
It's not something that people drink and enjoyed the taste when it was made. It was something they drank because it was the only thing they knew wouldn't make them shit out rivers of blood because it was made by England.
Hey, bro, you don't like IPAs? You don't like IPAs? Let me just go ahead and change your life real quick. Why don't you just crack this top of Hoptacular? All right? Mm-hmm. Why don't you let that hit your taste buds?
Oh, and they all have just the cutest names in the world, don't they?
This isn't for y'all. This is for IPAs.
Yeah.
Because
they're all named the Hopzilla, or the Hopdillo, or the Hoptastic,
Hopscotch.
Or the Hop, and Hopscotch,
yeah.
And the Hop Goblin, and all this other stupid, kitschy, fucking hipster bullshit. It's shit. It's garbage liquid that you're pouring down your throat.
Nah, man. See, my brewery was founded by, like, three surgeons who just didn't want that lifestyle anymore, okay? So this is called Hopperation.
we have some friends that you know, we don't get together with them often, maybe every few 6 months or something, but me and the guy are both pretty good beer drinkers, you know, so we'll usually bring a six pack over, you know, for the other one to try and stuff. And definitely he brought over a six pack once, and I had one out of courtesy, and he had a couple, and there were three of these IPAs left in my fridge for 5 months until he came over again. That's a little embarrassing, but yeah, this is shit, man. This is garbage beer. Nobody should drink this.
Like, there are friends I love, and I love dearly, like, great friends of mine, and, like, the only thing they'll keep in their fridge is, like, Sierra Nevada. And that is one way for you to keep your beer, if I come over. Because, like, I'll drink that one, I guess, sometimes, but it's just, I just can't get through them. It takes me forever to finish a Sierra Nevada. Just because
it's shit.
It's hard to go back.
Yeah, those would take me like 2 hours to finish when I was drinking those. Like, what is the point? It's not enjoyable. Just doing it to do it.
Rush, you don't drink beer anymore, right?
No.
Okay, but when you did, what would be your go-to?
My go-to was Lone Star Light. Six-pack of cans, like the tall boys.
That's a good
grilling.
Beer. Pretty good little beer.
One thing I liked after like mowing the lawn was a Ruby Redbird. Usually only drink like one.
Those are pretty good.
They're really good. It's hot.
Like the Shiner specialty stuff, like I can have one of, except for Cheer. I can't get into Cheer, the Christmas one. I don't know why that one doesn't do it for me. But
yeah, a lot of funny tastes. But I also was telling y'all before the show, I like to get the odd oil can of Foster's.
Yeah, okay, so enjoy let's...
that, especially when it's hotter.
Let's get into that. I don't think I've ever had a Foster's that I can remember. What is it good?
It's not bad, it's just kind of different.
It's Australian Budweiser. It's not bad, but it's not, like, good.
It's nothing special.
It's beer. It's beer that will get you drunk, which is why...
Certainly
all beer is good... asterisk IPAs are not good.
But yeah, the bonus is it comes in a huge ass can. You can drink pretty fast.
I do wish that some of the beers I love came in that giant ass Foster's can.
I don't know why. Enjoy buying like the fence post from a gas station. the one where when you buy it, they ask you if you want this tiny little paper bag
to wrap around
the bottom third of it. Which I don't know what that's supposed to accomplish. We're not hiding the beer from anyone, and it's not just keeping like anything cold.
Built-in coaster.
Yeah, it's just here. This will sort of slowly soak up the moisture until it dissolves in your hand.
That's what she said. I don't know why I did that. I don't. Just judge me. That's fine. I deserve that. Okay. So yeah. What's your winter beer?
I liked one called Snow Day. It's from like the New Belgium brewery. But that's only, you know, fancy pants once in a while.
No, I like the Fat Tire from them in the colder months. It's pretty good stuff.
Yeah, something darker.
Uh-huh. And you know what? I didn't do service to this. On a hot day, a standard Shiner Bock will do great. That's totally fine.
What about pumpkin beer? Yay or nay?
Nay. Chuck?
I'm sorry, what?
Pumpkin beer? Are you in or out?
Oh, no. Fuck that.
You know what I am into is, like, the stouts. Like, what is it? Like, Lakewood Brewery's got a great one called the Temptress. And then, like, in December, they'll put out what the Temptress Sin Mint, which is, like, a chocolate minty beer that tastes like a Thin Mint cookie. That's some good shit right there. On a cold night, you knock down a bottle of that. Not only will you gain 30 pounds, you'll pass out drunk. That and a 10.
Is that one of those that runs you about $28
it's per bottle? Like, I think it's like 8 or 10 for one of those big bottles, which isn't terrible. And you know what? I'm not doing a service to my local breweries here. I love the Deep Ellum Dallas Blonde in the summer. I think that's a good one, personally. Chuck, have you ever had that?
I have. I am a Dallasite. I know my Dallas beers.
Oh, I know. I was just, you know. That's
actually probably not true. I know that one, though.
Do you know Local Buzz? Have you had that one?
Okay, now you're just calling me out on
that. No, I'm not. I'm not trying to call you out. I'm just talking to, I'm talking about the ones I like. No, it's like kind of a lighter beer with like a honey in it. It's pretty good.
I don't know that one.
Well, fair enough. I'll stop whipping you with Dallas beer because you could just crush me. In your Austin paradise. That is entirely false.
I was kind of full of it, but you know.
I don't know. You've got some good beers down there in A-Town. The Austin East Cider Company makes some good stuff.
I'll get into the cider. They're doing good work. Please edit this out, but I'm
not. Oh, God damn it! Quit making this hard for me.
You have to edit that, though.
I know. I'm going to. That's why.
But I thought that was cool.
And 3, 2, 1. And here we are on the Bullcast.
Hey!
After a hot edit. So, yeah, Austin East Cider's doing good work.
And that's why Cliff Kingsbury is going to win the national title in 2 years.
Boom! Nailed it.
Pow. Hard power take.
Now, what school is he working for when he wins that national title?
Michigan State.
Mm. Oh, my God. If that is true.
That is an insanely hot take, and I actually would love to see that happen.
Can you write that article tomorrow?
What would be better than seeing Cliff Kingsbury out of nowhere get hired by Michigan State and fucking take them to the promised land?
Run the table.
Oh, my God, that would be amazing.
He's got to run over Michigan to do it, and he kicks Harbaugh's ass.
No one in the Big 12 or the Big 10 would see that coming.
Like, I don't know, would Texas fans lose their freaking mind? over that.
Oh yeah.
Like tech fans would commit Harry Carey, but like, what would happen?
No, they'd just sit there and go, "Durr, yeah, well, he couldn't beat us."
Pretty much.
Dude, college football fans are very, very simple to figure out. That's
sports fans as a whole.
What is the quickest and simplest route you can use to make your school seem superior to whatever subject is being discussed?
Well, as always, that you go to the Notre
Dame. That's the whole game.
Attendance, revenue.
No, you just if Cliff Kingsbury wins the national championship in a different conference. After 1 year, you go, well, he couldn't beat us, and he couldn't win this conference, so he had to go to a weak conference like the Big Ten. It doesn't matter if it's, like, true or logical. You just have to be able to say it out loud. And
it's factual. It's scientifically proven.
And you win.
Let's go ahead and state history. This fact that the Big Ten would annihilate the Big 12 in a one-on-one. Like,
of course it would.
Yeah, because they got more teams.
But that's not pertinent to this discussion.
Those conferences need to swap logos. Can we agree on that?
Well, doesn't the Big Ten have 14 too?
I thought they had 12. They did have, though. They added two, didn't they?
They got Maryland and Rutgers now.
That's right.
I'm telling you, like, tomorrow, Will Muschamp suddenly quits South Carolina. He goes to Rutgers and immediately wins the national championship, and you go on Texags.
Oh, I bet they'd love.
And the narrative will just be.
Jersey.
No, the narrative will just be, well, yeah, he couldn't hack it in the SEC, so he had to go find an easier road to the national championship, blah, 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 never beat us, blah, blah, blah. It's bullshit.
Yeah,
it's
and then you break that sentence down, and it's like, easy road to the national championship.
It's like, Rutgers.
It doesn't exist. Like, you still got to beat somebody in the national championship.
With Rutgers, that would mean probably.
But that's how this game
Ohio
works.
State twice or something.
Yeah, see, you can't logically analyze what I said. The fact that I said it means I win. That's how it goes.
I don't need to know any of the details behind the opposing arguments because I said it and it's true.
Yeah, I tell you here, Wes. Let me give you an example.
Okay.
Real quickly refute my argument.
Okay, go for it.
No, I already made my argument.
Oh, that argument?
Give me the rebuttal.
No.
I thought you were an improv guy. What happened to yes and?
I know, I did that on purpose. Okay, you want me to refute?
Give me the rebuttal to my argument.
He took a small school like Rutgers and... Chuck, you are responsible for making me edit three things in this podcast tonight. Like, I gotta make notes now. that.
Where were we?
Chuck,
I was ruining the bullcast.
As usual.
Not ruining the bullcast, you're just making my job post bullcast harder. Which is just fine. Is it? Do you smell that?
What?
That's your bullcast. So to our new listeners from AggieCast, welcome to our insanity. We promise we get super sportsy during the football season, but we're just not there yet. So we hope that you take this time to get to know us a little bit and develop an affinity for our weird-ass takes. And come read some of our BS at goodbullhunting.com.
Don't forget to tweet at AggieCast.
Yeah.
Tell us your favorite bullcast moments.
Yeah, definitely do
over
that.
The past 3 years.
And read the tailgate when that starts coming out. Because it's football-y.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, I just reminded you of that, didn't I? Yeah, it's about to start.
Where are we going to overhaul it?
Yeah, we talk about that every year, and then we never do it. And it's like, oh, shit, we got to write one. So yeah. But we'll get there. We'll get there.
Yeah, we'll figure it out.
And if we don't overhaul it, I'm sorry, Wade. we've been meaning to do it. It's not.
And let me be clear, Wade. I am not sorry.
Chuck's not sorry. I'm sorry. I got four things to edit now.
You pussy.
No, I'll leave it.